Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News. I want to welcome everyone who's on the panel here, with us on the Zoom call. Also, I want to welcome those who are on Facebook Live, as well as Blog Talk Radio and our other formats as well. And this evening, you know, we're going to talk about 17. We're going to have pretty much what you call an open mic. But I do want to talk about what's taking place with the National Black Unity News. And we have an upcoming event this Friday. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And we have a great deal of new podcasts coming forth as well. So it's a lot of good things. We are constantly moving forward and outward because we have a major task to perform. And that is trying to unite our people, to inform our people, to uplift our people so that we can have a better quality of life and so that we can leave a better future to our children and our children's children. But before we get started, my partner and co-host, Brother Satawi Jahi, always has something positive to share with us. And I'm going to turn the mic over to him. Brother Satawi.
Thank you, David. And as y'all know, that our listening audience, we open up the show every time we come on here with a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success. The author of that book is Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich and Black Choice. And our reading for today, August 10th. Life is short, so play hard. Quote, my top priority is to align myself with the Father of creation, unquote. Jhené Kennedy Overton, television personality. A man had been hospitalized after an abdominal attack. A preliminary examination indicated a tumor, which he was warned could become malignant, in his case, incurable. For several days, he lay under a cloud of gloom. He lived under a cloud of gloom and fear, awaiting the outcome of the exploratory operation and a biopsy. One morning, the doctor came into his room, put his hands on his shoulder and said, friend, you're going to live. This man felt like he had just come out of a dark tunnel into a bright sunlight. He heard music and the sound of birds that he had never heard before. The sky outside his window was a richer blue. The clouds were more beautiful, as were the flowers on his nightstand. His family and friends suddenly seemed more important, more beloved than ever before. Lying in bed during the days of his convalescence, this man did some deep thinking. He began to see that he had been living on the surface. His life and attitude had lacked depth. For the first time, he seemed to understand what life really is. Not a transistent experience between birth and death, but a spiritual encounter with God. He was a man reborn and in time with the infinite. Every day we have an opportunity to become reborn, to draw closer to the infinite. Let's refocus our priorities and rejoice in life. Today I will spend a few minutes to center my thoughts on the infinite spirit that rests within me. And that's a very, very powerful reading for today because, you know, we can't get so caught up into the hustle bustle that we forget how to focus on intimate. You know, God breathed breath into to all of us this morning to give us a chance to be here on this earth another day. Another day and go through this experience being a spiritual being in human existence. And that's very, very important to really understand the depths of that whole spiritual existence that we have encountered and embarked on this earth in terms of being here. So, you know, I just wanted to be able to share that today. I know we got a lot of things coming up, and what I want to do is make sure that you understand your connection to the divine. You know, make it your top priority to align yourself with the Father and Mother of creation. So important that we do that. that we don't take for granted our existence, and that we really understand the essence of life. You know, it's only when you reach certain points in life where life is not, you're not going to have that much more left to it, that you really begin to focus and think about all of the things that have transpired in your life and how, you know, like I always tell people, person that's dead, they would gladly switch places with you. They get one more day, you know, one more day, you know, so make the most of each day that you're given by the Creator so that you can get the most out of it. And with that said, David, I'm going to turn it back over to you, sir.
Ah, man, you said a mouthful, too, because, you know, sometimes I'm talking about me now. I ain't going to talk about y'all. I'm just saying sometimes I take these days for granted. But, you know, when I woke up this morning, I was so appreciative. A lot of things have transpired in my life lately where I could have or thought I might have. You know, go to the next level, as some may say, or pass on. But I believe God is keeping me around for His purpose, and I don't take that for granted, because it is an honor and a privilege to not only to be alive, but to be used and to serve my fellow man, and I don't take that lightly at all. And that's why we're on these airways, ladies and gentlemen, is because we are here serving. You know, if it was just up to us sometimes, you know, we just look out for self. But, you know, the people that I travel around with, who's involved with the National Black Unity News, who's involved with these podcasts, seem to have what I would like say like spirits. Because they are the type of people who wants to share, who wants to make a difference, who's being led, who's being guided, and acting upon making changes for us. And I'm so appreciative to be around people like that, because sometimes, you know, when you on a journey, spiritual journey, sometimes it can get kind of heavy sometimes. And you had nobody but God to rely on. But when you see fellow men and women around you who's walking that same path, it's just a comfort to know that you're not by yourself, you're not fighting by yourself, that there's an army of us out there serving. And speaking of serving, that's why the National Black Unity News newspaper is designed, not was, it's designed to be, to serve. And we have brought together a collaboration of like-minded men and women who hearts in the right place, who have experienced life. And not only do they want to give back and they want to pay it forward, but they are, some of them older than I am, and I just turned 70 about a week ago. And some of them is older than I am, and some of them are younger than I am, but they still out there on the front lines putting in work. And so that's why I encourage you to get a copy of the National Black Unity News. And you can go right on to TNBUN.com, and you can see the publication, or you can go to my page, David Murphy. You can see a wealth of information. You can actually read the publication. Matter of fact, on the website, you can read all of our 14 or 15 issues. I stopped counting. And because, you know, we've been around 4 or 5 years now, and we haven't missed a beat as far as publishing. And so, you know, so that within itself is a blessing, because we, Bill Gooden, myself, and everybody else who's involved in the pub, we have been through a lot of turmoil over the years, these past several years, and we still going through it, but we still striving, we still standing in the gap. And so that, like I said, it's a privilege. But tonight, I just want to share something with you about where we've been. And as I just mentioned to you, we've been around 4 or 5 years, and we weathered many storms. But the most important is where we at right now and where we plan on going. And right now, we are expanding our territories all over the place. We, like I said, we have this podcast, and we have about 7-8 new podcasts coming, you know, coming on board. Powerful people with powerful information, sharing all types of good stuff. And I know for a fact, based on who these individuals are, as well as the format that they're going to bring forth, it will benefit us. It's going to benefit me, and it's going to benefit you. And if you listen in, that's what you have to do. But if you listen in, you will benefit from it. And not only that, if you share the information that you hear from them, you know, it can be a blessing to a multitude of people. And but before we go get into open discussion, I'm going to bring my partner on because he's hosting a special event here in the Baltimore. And I know we got people in North Carolina, Virginia, all over the place. But, you know, those who are within this area this weekend, I'm going to bring Bill on and let him explain what's going on. Brother Bill, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You got it, sir.
Yeah, first let me just say good evening to everybody and thank you for this opportunity. And basically, you know, I guess probably the best way to say it is that I'm doing something I've never done, and that's helping to promote an artist, a young lady by the name of Asata Storm. And I basically know Asata from St. Louis. But she's been very fortunate in terms of her career to do some international stuff as well as national stuff. And so it was an opportunity that she was going to be in Baltimore. So based upon that opportunity, then I'm taking the opportunity with some other people to headline her. So she's going to be performing this coming Friday at 7 o'clock at Nets Phase Cafe, which is located at 112 East Lexington, right there at Calvert and Lexington. So, you know, to be honest, Dave, like I said to you earlier, it's no cause. And the reason it's no cause is because it wasn't time to sell tickets. But I want to make it clear to everybody that, you know, we will take donations because, you know, I mean, artists are trying to survive and trying to make it also. So it was just a way for me to help to get her to another audience because this is the first time she ever been in Baltimore. So I just want to make sure, you know, I tell everybody that. And, of course, I would like for everybody to really come where we have an overwhelming crowd, and I'm sure we will because people have been inquiring about it. And I encourage people, you know, like I say, her name is Asata, A-S-S-A-T-A Storm. And people could go on her you could Google her. She got lots of music out there on lots of different platforms, Apple, YouTube, and all them other platforms that people to go to. So, you know, it was just another opportunity. When I say this is my first time, I mean, you know, even though I've been fortunate to do a lot of things in terms of trying to bring people together, I have never had an opportunity to highlight an artist and to try to promote an artist. So when I say it's new in that sense, and I'm honored to, you know, to have to be a part of that opportunity. But, you know, with the National Black Unity News, as well as the Eartha Harris Nim group, Tight Knit, they wanted to make sure that they attached their names to it also so that we all kind of work together in reference to trying to make this here happen. So it's just another stepping stone or another direction in terms of that we taken in terms of just constant. Because, you know, it's always this, Dave. I'm going to say this. It's always, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's boxing, music, political, the paper. It's always an effort in terms of bringing people together, right? Yep. And, you know, that's one good thing about music. Music brings people together in a different kind of way than sometimes we do when we're just having conversation, right? Because, you know, I mean, music is entertainment, the people is getting to entertainment, right? But we have to always take advantage of every opportunity to try to organize our people and not just give them an entertainment piece, but the piece in terms of why it's so important that we unite. Because I always say this, I'm going to say this probably till I die. You know, our recipe for greatness is through our unity, right? So if we don't unify, we can do stuff individually. And some of us are going to do okay as individuals. But we don't unify, and we still fail as a race. So that's why it's so important that we see the significance of trying to unify on every opportunity that we have in terms of bringing people together. So, again, I'm going to just encourage people to come out to hear this here young lady. And like I said, people want to hear her before they come out. You know, just Google her name and go to YouTube or some of them other social media platforms, and you can see a lot of her work. I mean, she's been out there a long time. And so I'm kind of excited to have this opportunity.
So am I. Yeah, I am too. You know, cause guess what? You know, because I had the opportunity. I spoke to her on the phone last Saturday. And also, because, you know, I'm old newspaper man. I like to know. I go and research people. And I heard her sing. She's a beautiful young lady and got a beautiful voice. So I'm looking forward to it because, you know, I always talk about words. You know, words come in many forms. And words can heal. It can make you laugh. It can make you cry. It can start a war. Words is a powerful stuff. But when those people have those types of gifts, who can sing, who can engage an audience and touch their spirit and touch their, you know, their soul with their music and with their voices, man, I think I always, you know, deep down inside, I always wanted to be a singer, you know, to do them type of things. But God bless those who have those gifts and talents. Yeah, I got it too, I believe, but, you know, that's just for me. But in any case, you know, I'm looking forward to it, and guess what? You know, in these days and time when, you know, people, you know, be running here, there, and everywhere, and you know, we have to have balance in life. And Bill, I'm just saying this, man. You know, every once in a while, it does the heart good to just sit down and enjoy life and listen to the skills that other people have. And that's what we always been about. Me and Bill and most of us on this call is by lifting each other up, supporting one another. So I'm going to encourage everybody, especially if you're going to be in this area, come on down, you know, and enjoy, you know, so come on down and hang out with us, you know, and enjoy yourself. Take a load off, man, because I'm looking forward to it. And you're going to be hearing a lot about this, you know, the rest of this week, because it'd be great to do some heavy promotional. But the place, I'm going to be honest with you, the place can't hold but so many people.
That's right. That's what I was going to say. You have to come early if you're going to get in.
That's right. So, you know, I'm going to get there good and early, you know. And so, no, yeah, because I'm too old to be trying to stand up. and when my mind is made up on something, I don't want to get turned away either. so I'm going to get there. But, you know, those y'all, you know me, you know, Bill, come on, hang out with us and enjoy yourself. And you're going to be hearing a lot about this throughout the week. And so, especially on my page, and Bill's going to be promoting, and we hope that each one, you know, some of y'all will promote it as well. And so, you know, Bill, you want to share anything else before we go on to another subject matter?
No, I just want to say, you know, again, you know, thank you. And I mean, I'm going to say what you say. You know, I mean, I'm sure we're going to have a good turnout. And I mean, I would like the people that we know to make sure that you get there early so you do have an opportunity to get in, because I would hate for people that I personally know to make that trip and then they can't get in. And like you say, I mean, the you know, the place can only hold so many. But I will say, I think that the people that's going to get the opportunity to go, they're going to be very pleased in terms of the performances that they're going to get from this here young lady. You know, sometimes, look, you know, we have a lot of superstars, right? And we have superstars. When I say superstars, man, it can be entertainment, it can be sports or whatever, but they just hadn't made it to the level of the Diana Ross or the Michael Jackson, right? But their work ethic and their performances is just as good. So I'm just encouraging everybody to please come on out and enjoy yourself.
All right. Okay, and so if anybody needs any further information, you can call me or Bill Gooden. You know, you know, we in the paper. We all over Facebook, so you know how to get with us. But again, you know, this is what the National Black Unity News is all about, is uplifting us. You know, we have many genres that we perform, and, you know, we got people who do this type of business or this type of service. But all of them are equally important and beneficial to us. And so, Brother Satawi.
Yes, sir.
You know, I appreciate, you know, when you open up with that statement about taking these days, you know, not for granted and how important each and every day is. And since you mentioned that, I see several people on here that's involved with the National Black Unity News, because I want to highlight, you know, that's what I do best. You know, I just want to highlight some people, man, because we share on this podcast every Monday night. We bring people in and we talk about this, we talk about that, but we believe whatever we talk about, it's important, and information is extremely useful or powerful if you're using it in the right way. And if we don't share with one another, then it's hard to understand, you know, you may miss something, you know, because everybody has gifts and talents. And speaking of gifts and talents, I know that this young man that's with us this evening, his name is Vernon Streeter. And I just want to take this time out personally to thank him because, you know, he has a lot of gifts and talents as well. One of his talents that I see mostly is a gift of serving. You know, I've been around for a long time, but I haven't seen many people who serve the way Vernon does. See, Vernon is, you know, he has limited transportation. And whenever we ask Vernon, even suggest, sometimes we only have to ask him, he just shows up. And he'll get on, he'd be carrying a television and mics and everything to locations. And it's like a whole studio. I don't know how he gets that stuff there, but he does. And he does it. He don't charge people for it. He just does it because that's what he does, you know, and that's what he do. And he share a lot of the events that we give. He put it on Facebook Live, and he do all of these wonderful things. And on top of that, he work a full-time job. And even on top of that, you know, he's running a business where he has his own TV station that he's building right now. And so, Vernon, can you unmute yourself one minute?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. And I just wanted to highlight you a little bit, sir, because, you know, like I said, we don't take this for granted. And I don't take you for granted. And, you know, I appreciate, you know, all that you do. And... I just want to ask you one question. And, you know I put people on the spot when I do this, but why in the world do you do them things the way you do them? You know, just go all over town, current all that equipment and spotlight, highlighting people, giving people opportunity to promote themselves, and then you ask for nothing in return. Why do you do that?
To give back to, you know, to our community. You know, we have suffered, you know, in our community, and to me, we haven't got as much help as we need. You know, we haven't got our reparations. There's certain things that haven't been given to our community. And it was a saying, we sometimes have to pull ourselves up on our own bootstrap. So, you know, I just feel a need to, you know, give back to the community, especially the ones that I see, you know, that's doing things in the community.
All right.
Let me say one thing, since you have Vernon on that, man, because I just want to acknowledge what you said. And, you know, of course, you know, I called Vernon in reference to this young lady, and Vernon will be down there, you know, videoing and doing what he do. So, I just want to say thanks, Vernon.
Yeah, no problem.
There you go, on the job. but you know, I just want you to know that we appreciate you, and I still need to talk to you about some things, because I'm going to put some more chips on your shoulders.
Right, right.
But
okay.
It's all good. It's all good. You know, and I just want to, you know, let you know that I appreciate it. And there's another young man on here, and he don't like to speak too much openly, and you know, in meetings such as this. But his name is Rico Crowder. If you care to speak, Rico, you know, you can unmute yourself. But if you don't, I will. And I met this gentleman several years ago, and he is a servant. And I don't know how he does it, but he do it. And he goes around for years serving the needy, the homeless, those who are pretty much down on their luck. And not only do he physically gives them food, hot food. Ain't no, I'm talking about just no, not bad. He get, and then give them bags of food afterwards, clothing, information. And I had one time I had the opportunity to go down there and serve with him one time. And I seen how he, that his operation, that they was in one location. I mean, they had an army of people working with him, but there was an army of people that they were serving too. And they had this, it was like what you call it, a production, you know, how they unloaded the trucks and set it up, and everybody got in line and took their stations and start serving the people. And then immediately after, they had to pack everything up and put it in and went to another location to start that operation all over again. And so, but, you know, like I said, I do a lot of observing, and I've looked at the people that were serving, you know, but then I also looked at the people who was receiving. And it was such a blessed day to see on both ends of the spectrum, those who was able to give and those who was receiving. And so, Brother Rico, man, I appreciate you, sir, for the work that you've done and you continue to do. And not only do that, he also goes around and help other people who are serving the homeless and the needy, too. They have their shelters and things going, too. And if you go to his page, God, Giving Hands, and you will see Rico all over the place. And not only do he do that, he also supports us. He supports Bill. He supports me. He supports Vern. I mean, every time I post something, he shares it and things like that. And so this brother is a giving brother, and I truly appreciate him. So, Brother Rico, I appreciate you, sir. Really do. And keep doing what you're doing, sir, because you are desperately needed in our community. And the way things are going, my goodness, if it wasn't for people like Rico, man, I don't know if a lot of people, how they will survive. And so moving right along, I'm going to open up the line now, and we're going to talk about some things, you know, since we're in this thing talking about serving. And, you know, my thing is always, you know, I, the larger community take care of itself. But I think in the Black community, we have not what you call special needs, but we've been put in a predicament that we need unity. We need each other. And for some reasons, mankind has seemed to try to put the Black person, people with melanated skin, in the best, and not just here in the United States, but all over the world. We suffer these same things, and it's so strange that this thing, it seems like it just mostly happens to us, wherever, you know, whatever country we are, you know, people look upon us in a certain manner. And I do know one of the reasons, you know, propaganda is a powerful, powerful tool. And because of media and my industry, see, they can take you, they can make you, lift you up, or they can put you down. They can demonize you, or they can do all sorts of things, and people believe it just by what they hear and what they've been told, you know. And so, but, you know, I know, hopefully everybody on here do know that God don't make no mistakes. Ain't nobody higher, nobody lower. And, but with mankind, it's just a rough situation. See, and I always say we have to operate on three different planes. So, you know, the God, you know, we have to operate in God's laws, natural laws and man laws. And we have to operate in all three of them. And it's a difficult task sometimes when you have to deal with man and his shortcomings. And then you have to kind of walk in God's laws at the same time. It's a difficult task as far as I'm concerned, because I'm just human. I'm a nice guy and I love people, but there comes a time and a point in life where you get frustrated if you see people who looks like me being, you know, downtrodden on or taken advantage of just because the color of your skin. And I seen a brother just tapped in here, and I'm going to give this brother a little homage too. His name is Cliff, D. Cliff. And to me personally, he's been out there for a long time trying to bring unity, not only here in Baltimore, not only here in the United States, but throughout the entire diaspora. This brother has been on the front line, innovating, uniting. He even put together an organization I belong to called the Maryland Council of Elders. You know, that came from Brother Cliff. He organized that. And he organized a lot of things over the years. And he's been fighting, like I said, on the front line. But, you know, just like the rest of us, he's been running into some difficult situations because it's hard to unite a people when they've been divided, not only amongst ourselves, but by outside sources, because, you know, that old thing, divide and conquer. So, Brother Cliff, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, sir. I just wanted to chime in real quick. I haven't been on this call in a little while. I want to wish you a happy belated birthday.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
And I'm sorry I had to miss the breakfast this past Saturday. There was a Zoom call that I was on that looked like it was kind of critical, and it turned out it was a couple other people who were on the call. I said that they were glad I was able to make it. So that involved a number of people from the U.S., from Europe, from the Caribbean, and might have been one or two from Africa as well, but they were kind of all getting together on a couple of issues we've been kind of wrestling with for the last 14 years. So it was a good call, but I would have liked to have been at the breakfast as well.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you one question, you know, because people, like I say, you know, I'm always curious. I know why I do the things that I do, but I'm just curious why people do the things they do. Why have you dedicated so much of your time, energy, and all these years in trying to unite our people when you sometimes, you know, it seems like it's a difficult task? And I'm quite sure it is, because I've been trying to do the same thing. But why do you continue to do that?
I think I just get tired of sitting and watching the things that happen, all the depredations and insults, not only against African people, many of them are against African people, but just in general that happen around the world. And what happens to African people is closer to my backyard, so that's something that I can kind of deal with a little more personally. And I just kind of got tired of seeing those things and the powerlessness that comes with looking at a thing and then complaining about it, but then not taking any kind of a hand in trying to stop what is happening or to heal the wounds or to solve a lot of the issues. I just think that when we actually try to take charge of the solution, then we empower ourselves. When we simply sit back and watch what is happening and just complain like a lot of us do, it's not that I feel contempt for people who are in that position. It's just that renders them more powerless. And I don't like the idea of feeling powerless to do anything about the things that anger me. So that's kind of where that came from. And then the specific path that I went on just kind of evolved out of seeing different organizations come and go, watching what brings them together, what breaks them apart, and ultimately coming to the recognition that one has to be sincere about what one believes. One is sincere about, for instance, Black people having to come together and to unify in order to lift themselves up, then one must be be persistent in their efforts to bring that about. And so it'll be one thing for me to just sit back and complain. Black folks are crabs in a barrel. Black folks don't do anything to organize each other. Black folks are just taking it, not doing anything about it. And another thing entirely to decide that, okay, here's my little piece that I think I can do to make that happen. So I'm doing my little piece.
Yes, sir. And I think you're doing a great job because, like I said, I've been around the block once or twice, but I know you said it didn't come from you, but you promote it. But, you know, wherever things come from, wherever they originated from, if it works, it works. And Robert Clifford, if you had noticed when he was speaking, he had this will behind him. And I think that is a great concept of how everybody, I don't care what your lane may be in or what your gift or your talents are in or where your heart is at. He has a system where everybody can get involved, support one another, and ain't got to, you know, cross up with each other either. You know, so it's a great thing. So I know, Cliff, you know, because of the climate that we're in right now, that you've been wanting to host another town hall meeting, but a little different from the way you have done it before. And I just want you to know that I'm on board because I believe in what you do and how you do it. And I know for one thing, based on my knowledge of you, man, you're a very sincere brother, dedicated brother, and I truly appreciate you for that. I really do. And you just keep it up, man, because you're not by yourself. You are needed. And I'm going to bring another gentleman on here, but I don't know if she left already, but we had Sonata was on here, and she's doing some wonderful things, always has. And if Sonata, if you're still on, I think she's gone. But if you are on, you know, you can chime in. And so Mr. Walter Dempsey Murphy, could you unmute yourself? Now, here's another gentleman I know for a long, 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 long time. Yeah, he happened to be my brother, my blood brother, and a friend. And I know him personally about a lot of things, but there's some things, you know, nobody knows about anybody. And some things just, you know, within our will, you know, and I know him, you know, as a brother. And I know him as a community man, but I always wondered, you know, because I know God put him in a certain position, and family-wise, you know, he's the oldest son in my family, and now, fortunately and unfortunately, he and I'm second in command. We are the, you know, as far as our family tree is concerned, we are the oldest male Murphys now. We have watched our uncles and grandparents and everybody else, you know, pass on. So now the baton has been passed to us, to him. So I'm just waiting in the wings just in case. But in any case, you know, he's always had this heart for family, and not just, you know, immediate family. I'm talking about, you know, the Murphy clan as well as the Holiday clan, you know, on both sides. And on top of everything else he do, you see, he takes a lot of things personally. He gets involved in people's lives, in the family. But Mr. Murphy, I'm just asking why, because I'm just curious. I'm a curious type brother. Why in the world? And you know how family is. You know how crazy they can be. But why do you continue to serve your family the way you do? And you know, the, you know, sometimes you can put so much in one and it seems like it never come. You never see the fruit of it. But, you know, but you continue to pour in. Why do you continue to do that when most people will walk away?
Well, I'll be honest with you, David. First and foremost, hello, everyone. David already kind of introduced me again. I am Walter Eugene Dempsey Murphy, and I am the managing director of the National Black Unity News. I'm going to answer David's question in reference to why I do what I do. But first and foremost, I want to put a plug in for the National Black Unity News. This is a awesome, wonderful, solution-oriented periodical that comes out every ladies and gentlemen. I was just listening to Brother Cliff, and I saw the thing that's in the back of his screensaver. And I got to admit, there's up there right now, beautiful. I'm glad you showed it, Brother Cliff. I appreciate that. So one of the deals is that all the little spokes to that wheel, all of you are a part of that. Every one of you on that call is fits in one of those spokes into that wheel. And the whole idea is that to bring it all together in one place so that we all can benefit. And that's the whole thing. Bring that money home. Bring that information back to the community so that we can all eat off that plate and all benefit from the information that we've all received. Now, I understand very well that everybody does what they do because that's what they choose to do. Everybody on this call is not here because somebody forced you or pushed you or prodded you. They may have got you to do that in the start, but most of you guys are self-starters when it comes down to doing what you are passionate about. And so here I am, you know, the question is, MC, why do you do what you do? Well, plain and simple, it brings me joy. No other thing that just brings me joy knowing that I'm doing something that pleases me, and hopefully it pleases someone else. If it doesn't, my intent was to bring joy, contentment, and peace and love to anybody. Now, I wasn't always this way, ladies and gentlemen. I grew up in Baltimore, and I grew up like most of us. You know, come on, now, let's get this for real. But I had to grow into this. And so one of the things that helped me to do that was the idea of my position with my family. I knew when I was about 10, 11 years old that I was going to be in this position. I don't know how I knew it, but I knew that I would be a patriot for my family, a young prince, as you want to call it, or whatever you want to call it. And we were dirt poor. Don't get this wrong. I saw this years ago. And so what I wound up doing was this: every opportunity I had to serve, I pretty much did, because there was nothing else for me to do but, because that's where your passion lies. If you see your brother or sister in need or wanting to get somewhere or trying to get something done, and you don't put your little 2 cents worth in it, who's the fool? Everybody benefits. You know, there was this concept that I learned some years ago, and it benefited me and everyone else who's ever heard this concept before over and over and over again. There is this thing about a situation where anyone who gets into it, I don't care what it is, but there are going to be three outcomes. Only three outcomes. And most of you have heard this before. A lose-lose, a lose-win, and a win-win situation. And if you go into it with any other idea or concept about anything that you do that is not on the level of everybody winning, everybody gets screwed. So, ladies and gentlemen, David, the question is that I don't know why I personally do all of what I do, but I do know that what I do it because I choose to do it. And even though it may seem to be uncomfortable when I'm going through it, my goal is to bring back to you, David.
All right. Thank you, sir. And I see on here on the line with us is Cynthia Jahi and Kim Williams. Are y'all available?
Yes. Hello.
It's both of y'all, huh?
Hello, everybody.
I had two sisters on here.
Hey.
And I've been knowing these sisters for quite a long time now. I ain't gonna tell your age, Cynthia.
I am excited to be 65, following right behind you. Still able to two step with your brother and you. So yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. Long as it's still some pep in the step. That's all that matters. Yeah. That's what your old school, you know. But in any case, yeah, but Cynthia and Kim, you know, I do know one thing about y'all. You know, y'all servants, and you're very spiritual about, you know, how you serve and who you serve. And I know, you know, in life, you know, with your family and everything else in life, you know, times have been extremely challenging sometimes. And I do know, because when I first met you, especially you, Cynthia, you and your husband, Satari Jahi, you know, y'all were serving, and y'all were such a great inspiration to me, because y'all were the first people I ever seen that really dedicated their lives to be young people at that time, because I was young myself, to have dedicated your lives to our youth and to put so much into them. You know, when y'all could have easily went to work and did this and lived happily ever after, but y'all chose to serve our children. And even you served my children. I just want to tell you, I went to a baby shower yesterday for my son David and his soon to be wife. And I looked at him, and he stood beside his lady, and the grin on his face, the smile on his face, proud father. And to watch how he's grown, and I always think, you know, when you raise a child up, you know, when they're in that early stage of life, that it has a lot of input into their life. And I know for a fact that you and Satavi put some powerful seeds into my son when y'all took care of him. And to see the man that he's become today, he never really gave me no trouble or anything like that, and LaToya as well. And so I want to thank you, you know, you, your husband, your family for that as well. And Kim, you know, she's a strong sister, but she's a praying sister. And people, those of you know, I've been through a lot lately, you know, but one thing I do know, there was people praying for her, and I know for a fact Kim was. And prayer availeth much in my life. And you know, prayer is strong, you know, and thank you, Kim. You know, not only, you know, but, you know, but every time I was going through, even when I wasn't going through stuff, she'd be praying. So, and I appreciate you for that. I really do. But I'm just asking why. And so I'm going to start with you, because since you're the oldest, Cynthia, why in the world did you choose to serve our children?
I chose to serve the children because I found that I just loved being around children, helping them discover their talents. A lot of times the parents were not aware that the children could sing, could dance, could act, could speak, could lead a group. And I began to discover that, and I just enjoyed being able to assist the children and being able to make that happen. So sometimes we were doing something in the group. I never forget one little girl. She was singing in the back of the car. We were dropping her off from a performance, a rehearsal. And I never forget, her name was Bakira. And she was singing. I said, you know, you sound pretty good. And I can't sing a lick, but I felt like she could sing pretty good. And we featured her in a show. When we featured her in the show, it was the first time her mother heard her sing. And she had no idea that her daughter, who was by then 11 years old, could sing as well as she could sing. And so I just be able to enjoy having children and bring out anything positive that I could possibly bring, you know, out in them. And God has just blessed us to send a lot of good people along the way. There were some guys at the time we met, and they took the children on a hike. And next thing we knew, the children loved the hiking. They didn't have on any Kermit lotion. Y'all know Kathleen going to laugh about this. We went out in the woods, didn't have on the proper gear. Everybody came back scratching and itching, but everybody was scratching and itching to go back again. So that developed our whole hiking program, in which we ended up taking your son too, all the way up, you know, Harvest Park, West Virginia, and going on hikes and things of that nature. So what I find with children is that they'll lead you. One thing leads to another, so the dance and theater program went from dance to theater to after-school reading because they had to get their homework done, to Satavi taking them on trips to the Smithsonian. He had a thing called You've Lost Your African Mind. Let's go find it. So it was just the love. And also in my family dynamic, there's six of us. Three of us are in our 60s. The other three are in their 50s. So I always would take my younger brothers and sisters wherever I went. I took them roller skating, ice skating. I took them out to Harvest Ferry Kim is 10 years younger than me, okay? So that came from a childhood experience also. So But I wanted to say one more thing real quick. I was real excited when I saw the last of this new edition that you have, because one of my former students, Stephanie Williams, was with WombWorks, and she made it on that trip to Africa. And see, that's the type of thing that excites me, when the children do more than when they go way beyond what we could even dream of, you know, the things that they can do. And so that's another thing that it's enlightening, it's exciting, it puts fire under me all over again. So like I said, you never know their potential. I met her, she invited us to go to her church. She sang on her church choir. And now she's traveling with the Sister of WombWorks. And look how her world has expanded from the corner of Elamont Street, a church on the corner of Elamont near North Avenue, to a child who's now traveling, a grown woman who's now traveling the entire world. So it's been really exciting.
Amen. And Sister Kim, you know, I know you, young lady, and but this thing with you in this prayer, what's that about?
Well, the power of God is power in prayer. You know, you got to go to the throne room to get help. We can't look to man for help. And I think too many times we, any problem or situation we have, we run to man instead of God. So I love lifting people up in prayer. And I notice people change to come to God, or their spirit change in front of me. Or down the road, sometimes somebody say something. You did X, Y, and Z. But power of prayer, I love praying. I know it's my mission. People just seek me out and ask me to pray for them, and people stop and allow me to pray for them. So I know it's God's hand on me, and it allows me when I have people. This is a community, the National Black Unity newspaper. So when you have people like you who reach out, when you sit in the living room and get emotional, and Cindy telling you things I was doing, and you say, go forward, Kim. And then you did a beautiful website for me. And that keep me going. That let me know that God never leaves me, never forsake me. When he says he got plenty of his people out there for you. No matter, I don't care how they look, they everywhere, his people, and you one of those people. So I'm grateful to be a part of the National Black Union. I'm newspaper. Me to the love when we give out the paper. Yes, again, prayer. If anybody in here don't believe in the power of prayer, if you don't believe in the power and the high power, I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, missing that blessing. You can't do nothing on your own. It may seem like you can do it on your own strength, but believe me, God's with you every step of the way. But look how far you can go if you have Jesus with you. Now, it may seem like you're not going far, but in God's eyes, you're going way far. You change your lives, and you don't realize you change. You may never see the people again till you get to glory. But you never know how many people you're affecting, their whole family. And we need each other. So God say pray for each other. That's in his word. That's his command. Pray for one another.
That's right.
And you lean not on our own understanding. So to lean not on our own understanding, we have to go to him. And the best way we can go to him is in prayer. Because prayer is a communication. It's a language God gave us to communicate to him, with him, in Jesus' name. And by his power, his Holy Spirit.
Amen. And you know, I had an aunt, her name was called Aunt Alice, and she was a praying woman. And in my rougher days in life, she used to call me up every once in a while because she lived in South Carolina. And she would always say, you know, I'm praying for you. I got your name on the altar today and this, that. And when things got better, I think it got so rough on me one time, but when things got better, and I told her what my mother told her, you know, that David made some changes. David, you know, was getting his life together. And when we met, and she saw me and her had a talk. Not only did I feel her prayers, but when I seen her in person, the joy that she, you know, I mean, she is just exuberated off, but she had this aura about her. And man, it was almost as if I was looking at an angel. And so, you know, so I do, that's why, you know, I do not take prayer lightly, because, like I say, over these, especially these last several years, you know, that was occurred me, people praying for me. So continue to do that, Kim, and pray for us, because we need it. And thank God for people like you who are out there who are praying. because, you know, again, I don't know about the rest of y'all. You know, we can do all of these things, but we know without God, I don't think we go nowhere. That's just my opinion, you know. But again, I want to thank you sisters, Cynthia Jahi and Kim Williams. And we have a few minutes left, and I have a couple of brothers on here, too. And I want to give them a shout out. You know, like I say, the newspaper is always constantly growing. And we have two gentlemen on here who just came on board with us. One is by the name of Michael Thomas, and the other one, his name was, is Troy. Troy, I forgot your last name already. You see how old I'm getting? but Troy Mobley, he caught up. And I want to, again, welcome both of these brothers to the family of the National Black Unity News, because both of these brothers in their own rights are true servants, and they're gifted. You know, they're very talented brothers in what they do and with their aspirations. And I'm looking forward to continue to work with both of these brothers and just welcome aboard Michael and Troy. I appreciate you, brothers. And before we go off these airs, there's one more person that you very seldom hear. He don't talk that much, but he can. I tell you, his name's Satawi Jahi, and he and I go back a long way together. And it's strange me. He and I went to the same school, the one school, because I dropped out in the seventh grade. He continued to go on to school. But we did go to this school called West Baltimore Middle School, Rock Glen. That's what we called it. Then they changed to West Baltimore Middle School or something. But the year it opened in 1961, I attended there. And I had to go through a whole gauntlet of racism just to get to school. Then when I got to school, it was another gauntlet of racism with the school and the school surrounded. And Brother Satavi can understand, because he had to go through that same gauntlet, you know, when he had to go there as well. And so, you know, but to see this brother over all of these years, because him and his wife, Cynthia Satavi, you know, Satavi and Cynthia, they dedicated their lives to serving others, and they're doing so right now to this day. And it's a privilege, Brother Satavi, to have known you, to work with you, man. And me and this brother, sometimes we get into some heavy conversations. We share with each other, and we support each other, you know. And Brother Satavi, man, you do a lot, man. And I want you to know, man, how much I appreciate you, man. And you're a good man, and, you know, I appreciate you. You're human, and just like I am. But to me personally, man, you know, you always have my back, and I always will have yours. So I appreciate you. And before we go off these air, Brother Satavi, because I can go on and on and talk about you, but anything you want to share of why you do the things that you do, sir?
It's like a spiritual calling. And I thank you for your support and along this journey. And I thank you for entrusting me and my wife with your children when they was at such a tender age. And they learned the song Red, Yellow, Black, and Green. I know what those colors mean. Red's for the blood that flows like the river. Yellow's for the gold and all the stolen treasures. Black's for the people strong, brave, and true. And green's for the land called Africa. And that's home to me and you. Ha, ha, ha. Home to me and you. Lyle Gratterson told us that song.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. When my son came home and he started singing that song, I mean, he was proud, too. He was singing that song, man, and I knew right then and there, you know. But, you know, the strangest thing about my son, I could not leave him any place. I could not leave. I'd take him to his relatives, his cousins, his aunts, uncles. I had to literally sneak out the house or hide, you know, tell him to go someplace and then run out the house to get away from him. Or he would try to follow me, whatever, and he would break out crying and stuff. The first day when I took him to the camp, Satavi and Cynthia, he did the same thing. He didn't want to leave. The next day I took that little, I got kind of upset a little bit. You know, he ran into that place and didn't even look back. But in any case, you know, that's how much he liked that voice, you know, and that's the first time I would see him do that. But and I just knew right then and there that your spirits, because the children will reflect when they're around you, they reflect your spirits. I don't know if y'all noticed or not, but your little children had that capability to sense things about individuals. And so, you know, again, brother, man, I truly appreciate you. And here it is, 8:30, you know, but there's one person, last but not least, and that's Bill Gooden. I know he usually has to go, but Bill is a type of gentleman who's been on the front lines for many years. And he's demonstrated over the years, you know, servitude. And when me and him had the opportunity to speak years and years ago, you know, you can tell the like spirit. Because, you know, he's like me. See, we've never been about making money and this, that. We were always about servitude. And we've had many conversations, and it's obvious. As far as he and I is concerned, we're going to be serving until the day we die. And that's just it, you know. And, you know, we plant seeds, but, you know, we have to lead to rebuild. I always say you lead the results to God. And we all are only human. And, but I do know one thing, when a man takes his time, his energy, and serves his fellow man, that's a powerful thing to have within the person to share someone. And the beauty about Bill is, even like I say, he's going to do this until the day he dies. But this brother, no matter how much he has suffered, how many things he has gone through, he jumps right back up and starts serving again. And so, Bill, I appreciate you, man. And you keep doing what you're doing, man. And I have much love and respect for you. And I'm going to say this in closing. You know, I ask you these questions, you know, it's for a reason. Because, see, you never know. See, like I always tell you, words are powerful. And you never know who's listening to you. Like I said, we're on several formats right now. You don't know. You know, sometimes you may think it just sucks, but see, this video or the Zoom call will go weeks and weeks after we even off it will continue to run. It goes out into viral, you know, so to speak, and you never know who picks it up or who may pick it up 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But people need to know, because media shows mankind is pretty much in the news. All news is about the worst of us, about the greed, about, you know, and that's why people's minds are so messed up. Every once in a while, they show a good human story, human interest story. But see, when people see people like y'all, see, here's only around 9 or 10 of us on this Zoom call, but we don't know who's on Facebook, who's on Blog Talk Radio, who's in these other groups, who's listening in, or who will listen in. But I do know one thing: words do not go. You know, when it goes out, it don't come back void. It lands somewhere. It lands, somebody's listening, and somebody will hear it. And to say, you know, when people seem like there's no hope, and just to listen to people like you all that's on this in this Zoom room right now with us, I shared this, you know, for a reason, because each one of y'all come from different angles, but one thing you do come from, you come from the heart of giving, sharing, loving, and it's a powerful, powerful force, especially in a day and time such as this. And to be amongst people like you, you know, that saying is on sharpens on, you know, so y'all keep me going. Hopefully I can help keep you going. But together, you know, it's a powerful force when we have this type of synergy amongst ourselves, people caring, black people. You know, other media share, you know, tell the story about us, don't look good at all. And we have to learn to start sharing and telling our own stories. Because if we leave it up to the other folks, it won't be good. It will be twisted. It will be lied upon. We will be lied upon and everything else. And our children and our children's children need to know our story. They need to know our hearts. I mean, each and every one of you demonstrate that, you know, in your own circles. but collectively. And everybody on here has some type of connection that's in this room right now with the National Black Unity News. And see, that's what makes this paper so powerful. Because, see, we're not all about just about making money. We're about sharing information. And that's why I'm encouraging everybody who's going to listen to this to get a copy or get a subscription, better, to get this publication. Because all you heard of it was just a tidbit of some of the things that these people are doing, but who's in this room right now. Just a tip, and there's quite a few more. And okay. So somebody trying to say something?
Yes.
Sister, want to say one more thing.
Sister and Kim say, can they say something real quick?
Sure, he can. Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Well, Sister, you go first, and Chris, go second.
Okay, it was Kim. Yeah.
Kim.
Okay. I just wanted to say, first of all, you know, being a part of this paper is way, way, way bigger than what I can even imagine, because what it has allowed me, I was given the opportunity to work with Bill Gooden on his book. For those people who haven't seen the book, he has several books out. But I did get a chance to work on that. And that has opened so many doors, Bill, since I did that. So I wanted to share that, how just being a part of this has taken me from one place to another. So my, you know, getting a chance to edit his book, name of his book is Cold Bitch, and there's two parts to that book, Cold Bitch 1 and Cold Bitch 2. It was a little bit out of my league because I work with children, but children grow up. They don't say children forever.
That's right.
It was a little bit out of my league too.
And so I just wanted to thank him for that. And also from that, also that was from being at the meetings, the National Black Unity News meetings. And then also I'm working on a book right now with another author. His name is Archie Lee. I'll be telling you more about that in the future. I'm also promoting two books. The Young Lady by Sabrina Wiggins has a book out as a children's book, and I'll give you more information on that. I know I want Kathleen to know about that, as she's doing her reading with children. And I'm reading with children also. And my latest book that I'm not editing this book, but it's by a really prominent person. David, you know her, Nikisha Taifa, she's a lawyer out of D.C. Her book is called Black Power, Black Lawyer.
Right.
And her book just came out. I'll make sure you get the information. Well, it came out last year.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, I'd like to catch up with her. Matter of fact, she still gets subscriptions.
Yes. She hopped on. She was very, very excited about hopping on to support. But I want everybody to notice here, for Bill's book and for everybody's book, it is so important that we support the black bookstores. Amazon's going to get theirs. Do not allow Amazon to put these black bookstores out of business. So when you get the book, Black Power, Black Lawyer, any of the books I'm telling you about, give me a call, or you can give David a call once I give him the information. Buy it from a black bookstore anywhere in the country. Just make sure we support our black bookstores. So I just wanted you to know that Nikisha's making sure her books are going in black bookstores to keep them alive, to keep their food on their table, so they can survive also. And I'm going to turn it over. Kim wanted to do a prayer.
I'm going to do a prayer. Before I do my prayer, I want to make you asking the question about prayer. Reason why I say prayer is powerful also, God demonstrated that in my life. When I was working as a correction officer, and you work around different people, you know, when you raise a child one way, then you work around, you go in other communities, there's people from different backgrounds, different belief systems. And so I asked God, who was he? I believe in you, but I don't need to know you for myself. I need to know that Jesus died for my sins. I asked this question. Before my head, I woke up, the bird was chirping at my window. I believe it was God. Kind of rose up like in a movie, like an angel or something. I guess where I rose. And I was just talking to God. And then I was going lay back down before I got up from my 3 o'clock shift. So before my head hit the pillow, I said, God, I want to know this. I believe you're going to answer my question, because I know you don't want me to perish. So I lay down. I lay down. Then I give it, ask the question again. I said, nope. I said, I believe you. When you would let me know, when you want me to know, because you don't want me to purge, you're going to make sure I know that going to church is real, reading your Bible front and back is your word. And before my head hit the pillow, I had visions before, But God opened up the floodgates of heaven and revealed this beautiful book we call the Bible. So many stories. So when I was in church, I'm reading things God has shown me in a vision, the picture of somebody talking. I'm saying, oh, my God, God showed that to me. So that's why I'm sold out to Jesus. I believe in God's word. I know he's coming back for us. That's why I'm saying it's power in prayer. It's not just somebody saying, oh, just pray, and you, because you don't see nothing right then and there, but you don't realize all the avenues God is working out for you. Things, you, even when things look terrible, devastating, it could have been way worse. And it's a way worse thing. You mean, how can it get any worse? But trust me, I have a niece who's in a wheelchair. She could have been dead, but I know God was there. Sister could have been dead. Sister could have been dead. My nephew Isaiah could have been dead, but God was there. God still showed me stuff. So that's why everything we share stuff and tell y'all, be careful about this and that. It's because then God showed me things. God talked, in the Bible, God talked to his people. People laugh about it, but God still talks to people. The devil wants us to think he don't speak to us. So when you have a vision, a dream, pay attention to it, or a spirit hit you, or something in your stomach, or God tell you something. He says, "Dad, I think something, somebody do X, Y, Z." It's the Holy Ghost that's speaking to you. He will never leave you, never forsake you, especially those who are in here. But even you not, you don't believe him. Trust me, he's talking to you. So I'm gonna go ahead, David. You're on my God.
Well, what I prefer you to do is hold the prayer for a minute, because let Cliff speak, and then you can close us out.
Okay,
Brother Cliff.
Yes, sir. Oh, actually, I didn't have anything in particular to add.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you know. Okay.
No. I will say at this point, though, that I have talked to a couple of people in the Maryland Council of Elders, and I know that their intention is to start communicating with each other a little more frequently. So hopefully we'll be able to bring all of you back together again. And we're also going to be working on whenever or however we do the next town hall, whether it's live in person at some place like Arch Social Club, or whether because of the COVID Delta resurgence or Gamma or Lambda, whatever it is, whichever Greek letter they're using now, if that causes us to have to do something virtual, then maybe we'll have to do something virtual. Mm-hmm. But either way, the Maryland Council of Elders and the Maryland Pan-African Town Halls and the formation of the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition, or MPAC is what I'm going to call it. Hopefully that will be proceeding perhaps sometime in the late summer, early fall.
Okay, so looking forward to it. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, in closing, you know, like I said, I thank each and every one of you for your input. And I'm quite sure our listening audience appreciate you as well. And we're going to have the great get up off of here. So, Kim, if you can just close us out, please.
Thank you. Okay, thanks. Oh, Heavenly Father, as your word in Ephesians 6 says, for we wrestle not against, hold on, give me a second. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against power, against rulers of darkness, of this wicked world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on your breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication and the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to your throne, give you all praise and glory. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your language. Thank you for the National Black Unity Newspaper. Thank you for all who are on here and those who listen around the world, God. We thank you for never leaving us, never forsaking us. Thank you for your word to turn us to put the whole armor you on us, because we can't do nothing without you, God. All praise and glory all belong to you, God. God, we rebuke the world of the warfare against black people around this world, against black people in this country, even the Native American people go, we rebuke them in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the people who want to poison us and kill us all, whether it's with vaccinations, whether with guns in the community, whether just a miscommunication, miseducation, and so many war weapons of warfare trying. But you, like your word said, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against us shall perish. God, we believe that. So we seek your faith. We seek your throne. And we've been asking you and we're crying out to you as we stand in agreement that this year end, don't go to next year with us still living the same way, God. Bring down the people on high power. Bring down every single one of these people around the world, not only in the United States, not only ones in our community, but everywhere we walk on this earth as black people, created in your image, God. So by the power of your blood, by the power of your anointing, by the power of who you are, the great I am, we lay it at your throne. We ask and we plead. We say, seek not. You say, ask and we shall receive. Seek and we shall find. Knock. And she'll be open to us. She lean not unto our own understanding. All our ways we acknowledge you. When we acknowledge you, God, bloodshed been shed on our by people, our blood, God. No more, God. You created us in your image. So we crying out to the hills, God. We ask you to put the end to mass incarceration. And of people dying in hospital with all kinds of diseases and fake things. Things they created to destroy us. And lies upon lies, God. So we ask that all these beautiful people in this call go forward, whatever you place in their heart, that those doors swing off the hinges and just run to it. Most important, they have a life in you. They have health and wellness. And where anybody in this family is dealing with this COVID, we ask you to heal their body, dear God. And for anybody, for any new virus to come out, we ask you to be good, send it back to the pit of hell where it belongs. And we say anybody who doesn't belong to you, everything that walks around this earth is not of you. So we got to remember that. So those who are not of you, God, let the light shine on who they are, really. Like you see in that movie, the person is a demon or an alien, whatever. They look one way to us, like a cheap clothing. Reveal them to us, God, and remove them out of our path. We ask these things in your holy, precious name. We lay it on your altar, and we say thank you. And thank you, David. Amen.
Thank you. And in closing, you know, with that, you know, like I say, it's no secret that I shared with people by the National Black News come by divine inspiration. And I know people have different faiths and different beliefs. But, you know, that's one thing about ownership. And there's one thing about that where you can control your own destiny. And I believe that you have to put God first. And some people, you know, want to make an argument about this and an argument about that. And so until you get your house together, until you run your own ship and show, and so, you know, so we don't care about, you know, how people may feel about this or may feel about that. You know, everybody has a choice to make. And I choose. Personally, to trust God, you know, because I believe there is a higher being. And so I want to thank each and every last one of you who's listening to us. And I want to make sure that you understand that it's time. It's time for us to stand up. It's time for us to stand in the gap. And it's time for us to be leaders, to lead. You know, because God has blessed you with so many years of experience, and you need to take some of that experience and put back into our community, back into our people, because this is a rough time out here, and this is not no joke. This is warfare. We need every man, woman, child to get on board with us. People are dying, and we don't know what tomorrow's going to be. That's why you need to trust in God. But in any case, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank all the panel people who was in the Zoom call, those who's listening in, and I'm going to bid you a good night. And I just want to remind you that tomorrow night at 7:30, the National Black Unity News will be hosting our business call. And if you want to get involved with this publication or some of the things that we do, because we have many tentacles to this business, to this service that we provide, you know, we have so many talented people. So I encourage you to come on tomorrow night at 7:30 to 8:30. And so we're looking forward to seeing you there. So y'all keep doing what you've been doing. And good people, you're doing good things. And And I appreciate it. I'm quite sure our listener will appreciate you. Thank you, and I'm going to say good night. Take care.
Good night, Dave.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you, Dave.
Goodbye.